it's Joe DeCamera.
And I'm John Ritchie.
Did you know that the 94WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. Once again, I apologize for the Dr. Karp thing. We can't take his calls anymore. That guy is finished. What a quack. Don't forget, see Joe Conklin at Parks Casino Street Road in Bensalem on Thursday, October 23rd. Joe welcomes in headliner Eric Ochoa. Get tickets online at joeconklin.com. All right, there's a lot of vibes here with this thing, with this Eagles thing. Back to 23. You know, from there's a part of the team that's really struggling. In that year, it was the defense. This year, it looks like the offense. They just can't get things moving in the right direction. But really, what strikes me is the vibes. There's just like a weird cloud over them. It was like that in 23. This year, it's like that. I think the AJ thing is really driving that. But they don't seem to be enjoying themselves. And they're the ones referenced in 23 before any of us brought it, you know, brought it up. Listen to this. This was from a couple Sundays ago before the game against the Broncos. Now, ironically, they haven't won since, so they haven't had to enact this. But listen to Ashlyn Sullivan with her report before the game, NBC Sports Philadelphia, about what the Eagles leaders asked Sirianni about. And as far as their Mondays after wins.
Well, Barrett and Jason know it better than most. There's a tradition in the NFL that you just don't really mess with, and it's Victory Monday. It's pretty simple. You win the game on Sunday, you get off on Monday, you come into the facility later on in the week, and you go to the next game plan. Well, talking to Eagles players in the locker room, they have told me that Victory Monday is canceled for the Philadelphia Eagles. The undefeated 4-0 Philadelphia Eagles do not have any Victory Mondays. And this is because the Eagles leadership group of Jordan Mailata, Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, went to the coaching staff and said, we don't deserve a Victory Monday. Look at how we're playing. We have to play better. We need this extra day to go over game film of a win. And frankly, the players telling me they like the change in the schedule.
All right, so there was the leaders going to Sirianni and saying they didn't want a Victory
Monday. At the club.
No, that was a stadium. That was warm-ups. I think it was,
no, it was live from the club.
No, it's not. Like
let's go to our reporter live from the club pregame here. All right, so we had that. Do we also have Jordan Mailata talking about it all? Jordan Mailata on the idea of trying to enjoy the wins, Victory Monday, all that.
I almost really like not having a Victory Monday because it brings us in. And we're able to, again, watch the film as a team, be very critical, but also just be around those who understand, you know, the predicament. Not even predicament, but the situation we're in. We're 4-0. Many teams would love to be 4-0 right now. But we're in the business of getting better. We're in the business of being very critical at the same time. Wins are great, but we're not playing to where, to the standard that we know we can be. And so I think, you know, enjoying the win is great, but being around this locker room and being here the day after a game so we can correct and see what went wrong.
So you have Mailata, you have the report that there's no more Victory Mondays, and then you have this about Nick, you know, listen to Nick Sirianni talk about the team and kind of how they're feeling right now, what he wants them to feel. Here's Sirianni a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, you got to give yourself, you know, points for wins, all right, because we're going to feel terrible about ourselves when we lose, and you know we're going to take away points, you know, when you lose. You got to give yourself points for wins, and you got to enjoy it, because that, I mean, you're doing this to go, you're doing all these things because you love it, you're doing all these things so you can go out there and be at your best, you're doing all these things that we do throughout a week to continue to get better, and you have to be able to celebrate that when you win. I think we got a lot better feel of that than we have had in the past, because one thing that I've said a lot is, you know, that Sunday, we got to celebrate this win in the locker room, on the plane ride, you know, whatever it is, you have to celebrate this win. But that, make no mistake about it, you want to continue to get better. And there's opportunities after each game to get better. And so that's okay when you come in Monday. Like, no one should be feeling themselves from the game still right now. Really, hopefully that was done on Monday after we went through the game. You feel good that you won, but you know you got a lot to correct.
Hugh, what do you, when you add all those three things together, what do you feel? Because 2 years ago, there was a story, I think Jeff Bickle had on the report, that they were the most miserable 10-1 team, right? They looked like they were wearing the expectations of the season. They didn't enjoy the wins. It feels like they're back there, that they're not enjoying anything.
Yeah, that's the first thing that jumped out to me was situational awareness. They are aware of the fact that they're not playing well, and they're trying to do everything in their power to fix it because they are locked in. That's why I'm really bullish on the quarterback fixing this, because he can fix this. You know, and somebody called in earlier, I think it was Abdul, and he was talking about, well, the defense is different. Well, as a collective, it's the team. And the one person on a 53-man roster that always feels like he's separate from everybody else is the quarterback. And if he brings – like, it's a different energy when he brings everybody together. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's one of those things, even though – He doesn't play on the defensive side of the ball. When your quarterback is a hands-on kind of guy, you know, one of the things that I liked about Jalen that I heard about him when I first got back to Philadelphia, it was that he was in the weight room working out with everybody. Mm-hmm. Now, this is not an indictment on Donovan, but Donovan never worked out in the locker room with us.
I have to imagine most quarterbacks don't.
No, they don't. Yeah. But when you heard stories about that, that really, to me, set him apart, because quarterbacks – you know, and I always, you know, talk about vibrating on a different level. They really do, because they are treated differently than everybody else on the football team. And that's a fact. So when you have a guy that's in that locker room and has boots on the ground and is sociable and is interacting with everybody, whether you want to admit it or not, that makes you feel different. Because quarterbacks don't really fool with everybody else like that. They fool with the coach. And they fool with the guys that they have to fool with. Mm-hmm. But when you have one that's the special kind of leader that I think Jalen is, I think it's different. And that's why I feel like he's the one, the only one, that can fix this. And fix it quickly. He can fix this quickly. I wholeheartedly believe that. But it's something to be said about everybody on that squad that you talk about how they need to get better. So they understand that. They understand that they're a good football team, but they're not where they need to be.
So I hear you on the Jalen part, and especially on the offensive side, he's, you know, a lot of the responsibility on getting everyone on the same page. I do look at the coaching, though, and Nick Sirianni's job is culture, right? Like, that's his job. He doesn't call plays. Not an X's and O's guy. His job is culture. And last year, he got it, everyone rowing in the same direction. Great job by Sirianni. We all, wherever you were a year ago on Nick Sirianni, we all kind of collectively came to, this guy did a good job with his football team, and he got them to win the Super Bowl, play together, play for each other. But when I hear Mailata talking that way, and that's what it was 2 years ago. They looked miserable. Like, you, I know you said a lot, this is on Jalen to get together. If this thing goes the wrong way this year, and it's 2 out of 3 years that they collapse with from within, I got to look at Sirianni and be like, dude, this is your job here. Like, again, you don't call plays. You don't design the offense. And when you look at the other coaches like him in the NFL, to me, there's less peaks and valleys with culture. Like Mike Tomlin, the Steelers are typically the same. The Lions are typically the same, right? That doesn't mean they're always winning a lot of games, but they're not infighting. There's not like a malaise over them. I don't know. If I'm Nick Sirianni, I'm hearing that stuff, I'm like, man, I got to get this locker room together. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down on all of it? OG Wade up on WIP. Hey, OG.
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
OG, how are you? What's up?
Listening to this conversation about the Jalen Hurts, and I wanted to get in there yesterday, but I think Jalen Hurts deserves a lot of blame for where this offensive's at. And I say that because I always come on here and I tell you how Jalen Hurts, you know, where I believe he is as a quarterback ranking and so forth, and I give him credit for the wins. This is why I disagree with a lot of people that say winning is not a quarterback record, because it is. Because when your team is losing, who are we pointing the finger at? We point it at the quarterback. So, yeah, when the team is winning, I think Jalen Hurts should get most of the credit. And when the team is losing and we're going through what we're going through right now, he deserves the blame for where it's at right now. Now, that being said, you can't sit and soak on that. Now you have to be proactive. What do you do to change where we are? And I think he's fighting an uphill battle because he's fighting against his own coach and organization, because I understand why they're not running the RPO, because they don't want to get him hit. They don't want to get him hurt. Okay, well, that's inevitable in football. Okay, I don't give a damn if your quarterback is standing in the pocket and you just running a basic offensive from the pocket. Your quarterback still can get hurt. So if you know that Jalen Hurts from the pocket, when given time, is 78 completion percentage from the pocket, why wouldn't you go out your way to mass protect him, to give him that protection? Because that's where you feel and you know you're going to get the most out of Jalen Hurts. Shane Steichen came here. Shane Steichen was a pupil of Nick Sirianni in San Diego, whatever. They didn't run the RPO there. Shane Steichen adopted that from Jalen Hurts and Lincoln Riley, which is what Jalen Hurts was running in 22, where we say he had his best year at, okay? But Shane Steichen is running that offense in Indianapolis right now. He didn't take Nick Sirianni's offense to Indianapolis. And he's having success with it, with Daniel Jones. We're not running what we ran to win the Super Bowl or to even be in 22. We didn't run it. And everybody want to say Jalen Hurts had his best year in 22. I disagree with that. I think the outcome was better. But if you look at the teams that we played in 22, they were all bad teams. So it wasn't hard to beat them teams. If you look at 23, we beat the Chiefs. We beat Buffalo. We beat Miami. We beat all the good teams. We were 10-1. And then we suffered injuries, and then A.J. and Jalen's thing went on, and we all know how that ended up. But my point is, we have to get to back to what you do best. Stop worrying about the league get catching up to you. Well, the league ain't catched up yet. We're assuming. We're just projecting that they're going to catch up. Well, let them catch up, then you change it. You know what I'm saying? Now, this week, I believe that this is going to be just like any what we know Jalen Hurts to do. This is where he's going to have his best game, which is on Sunday. Because I don't even want to believe what I believe as far as, you know, with this relationship thing going on. Because I don't like it, and I believe it has a huge part of what's going on with the team.
Well, I agree with you on that. I think it is a huge part of it. I think we're almost underselling how much the AJ thing has sucked the life out of them the last few weeks. I'm with you on this, OG. I think it's a big problem.
Yeah, because to be quite honest with you, Joe, you're not going to be able to satisfy AJ. In the last when we were 4-0, AJ started tweeting like he did in Tennessee. That's what got him out of there. Now AJ's had his two best games, and we lost two games.
Yep, exactly.
So where are you going to make AJ happy at? I just don't see it, man.
Well, I agree. And I think they have to move off that. OG, appreciate the phone call. The idea of trying to keep AJ happy feels like it's a dog chasing its tail. I mean, he's right. The last two games, they threw the football more to him, and they scored 17 points in each game. They didn't win either.
I don't necessarily think that was meant to make him happy. I think that's trying. I honestly think there's a parallel.
The louder he gets, the more the ball goes to him.
There's a parallel, yeah. But he's... He hasn't gotten louder, Joe. He's been indifferent. I would probably say that's the best way I would describe it.
Well, but the 2 weeks ago was the tweet. Which
that started it.
It's not a passive-aggressive loud.
The passive-aggressiveness
making
thing.
A scene. He made a scene.
But the bottom line is this, and this is kind of – like there's a lot at play here. That's why I don't feel like it's just one thing or another thing. I think it's a collective of a bunch of things. The running game is not there.
Yep.
The running game is not there. So, in essence, that kind of forces you. You're trying to get the defense to back off. They're not buying it. They're not buying it. They're still attacking the run in an aggressive way, and they also are changing their fronts to stop the run. So they're not buying it. You're not throwing the ball efficiently enough to make teams believe that you can throw the football. That's the problem. That is why it looks like you're trying to force feed him, because you know you're looking at eight-man fronts, and they're like, okay, beat me with your arm. And he hasn't done that. When you talk about that consistency, he hasn't consistently done that.
There's been great halves, but then there's been bad halves. Yes. I mean, that's been the story. This segment brought to you by Meineke. It's football season. Make sure your car is game day ready. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. All right, I quickly pulled this up because OG's talking about the RPO stuff. A lot of people brought this up the last few days. So in 2022, where I think most of us, and OG kind of pushed back, but most of us agree that's Jalen's best season, right? The year he was most consistently excellent throughout the year. They leaned on him, threw for 240 yards a game, second in MVP. That year, he had 8 attempts per game, 8 passing attempts per game out of the RPO. So far this season, it's down to just 5, and the numbers are pretty remarkable. This season, when throwing out of the RPO, and again, it's not much, but when he does, 106 passer rating, 77 completion percentage. Hugh, when the Eagles are not in RPO, when Jalen throws out of any other formation, 65%. He's 77% in the RPO, 65% anything else. Shotguns, mm-hmm. pistol, under center, whatever the heck they do. But anything but RPO, 65%. That's a big difference. 77% is top of the league. 65% is middle of the pack.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I really don't – if you every team self-scouts. And a lot of times you do variations of what you did last year that made you good. It just doesn't feel like this team is doing that. And I don't know why. Don't know why.
Well, I mean, I think they're caught in between. I mean, I think they're caught in between what they want to be, what they should be, what they need to be, the mm-hmm. game script, all that kind of stuff. It's a mess. 215-592-9494. Will in South Jersey's up on WIP. Hey, Will.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Will, what's up?
Listen, I feel like we're 2024 for the reasons that was already stated. But here's the thing, guys. This is very simple. We ran the ball 6 times in the first game we lost. And we ran the ball 12 times in the second game we lost. And our running back is averaging 5 yards a carry. He averaged 5.8 during the Super Bowl year. So the problem is here is we got away from the run. You know, you look at it all started with Kansas City, right?
Mm-hmm.
Super Bowl. Because Kansas City's kind of stopped our run game. But we kept on running it. We didn't stop the run. We kept pushing it. And that's why we won the Super Bowl. Because they say the best defense is the defense that's not on the field. Meaning, you can't score against a defense if they're not out there. You can't. So, when you run the ball, it eats up clock, it controls the game, and makes your quarterback comfortable.
Well, I agree with you. Now I think we can all realize the run game hasn't been as great this year, right? It's been more choppy. But the last 2 weeks, you're not wrong. 6 for 30 against Denver. They completely went away from the run in the second half. And then this past weekend, or Thursday, 12 for 58 against the Giants. That's enough. I mean, that's enough to keep running it and at least try to see if they can get going, they can get in a groove. You're right. And Will, it's one thing, like this past game, they were down 17 by the end. Obviously, you got to throw. It's kind of desperation. But that Denver game, they were never down. They were up until they went down on the last possession. But like that second half, the fact that they came out throwing was insane.
Yeah, it was. You just said it. It's inexcusable. Is another word I'll use. Inexcusable for a professional team who's winning the way they were winning against Denver, and to not come out and run the ball. That's just like you said, insane. It's just inexcusable.
Yeah, and I think they're getting well. Good phone call. It feels like they're not getting as many big runs, but they do have to stick with it more. I mean, Barkley.
You
got to
be more committed to it.
Yeah, Barkley. The last 2 weeks has 18 total carries. He had 6 against Denver. We can all see the O-line hasn't been great this year. But, Hugh, I feel like if they continue to run it, I do think they'll spring a block. Like Mailata has said, what, 50 times this year? We're one block away. Well, give them more opportunity. I mean, again, if you're down 10 or 14 in the fourth quarter, that's a different story. You have to throw. You have no time to go.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part this year, they haven't been, you know, the Rams game, they were down a lot.
The only game that's been out of hand is the one that was, what, Thursday night.
And they were down to the Rams and came back.
Yeah.
But that's it, right? The two halves of football have been out of hand where they've been way down. He's not wrong. I mean, as much as the run game has been not as good and Saquon's getting hit in the backfield way more, he only has one game this year with 20 carries. That's not a lot. That's not a lot out of six
games.
I
remember being in games where, you know, and I talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers because that's the guy that comes to mind is Jerome Bettis.
Yeah.
Where you have, in the first half, negative 10 yards, but you stay committed to the run. That's old school football, Joe. That's what that is. And we don't have that old school mentality. You know, guys get hurt. You know, this offensive line is not fluid yet. And we haven't done anything or stayed committed to anything. You know, we'll come out one half and we'll throw the ball a whole lot. And if that's not working, then we'll try to run the ball a couple times. If you want something to work, a lot of times you have to be committed to the failures to a certain extent. You know what I'm saying? Especially when you talk about early in the game. If you go into a game and say, hey, I'm going to run the football, you got to be committed to that. It's tough sledding running a football because a lot of times, especially in that first half, And when you talk about the physicality that this offensive line had at one time, they're not playing that way now, but at one time, you get to leaning on these smaller defenses. Because that Giants defense, they're good, they're agile, they're hostile, but they're a little bit smaller than most of the defenses, than the Jacksonville Jaguars defense. If you would have leaned on them a little bit more, like Scadabo did on us, then that's when the run starts to pay dividends. You got to be committed to it, man. You can't be scattershot when you do some of the things that you're trying to do.
Well, and this would be a different story if the Eagles' passing game was high-flying, right? Like, then it'd be like, well, all right, well, if we can't run it, let's just throw it all over the place because we're dominating like the way they did in the title game at Super Bowl. The passing game hasn't been like that, so nothing's working.
And not only that, in the passing game, and a lot of times when you want teams to back off and stop blitzing you, they used to call them blitz beaters, quick hits, like quick slants, because everybody's committed to stop the run, so everybody's playing close because they know you're not really throwing the football. Yep. Stop trying to put the ball down the field, push it down the field. You have one of the biggest, most physical receivers in the game. Put him out there one-on-one.
Doesn't it feel like our offense, the passing game, is either deep shots or dump-offs?
That's what I'm saying. Put him out there one-on-one and let him work. If it was me, it would be what you used to call them, quick hitters, them quick slants. I would go hike and just throw it to AJ. Let him do your magic. Because you're going to get one-on-one. You're out there. They're playing to stop the run. So do your thing.
Who would everyone rather call the plays this weekend, Kevin Petula or Hugh Douglas?
You don't want me calling the play.
Well, I mean, you kind of threw your name in the ring.
I'm just saying. You don't want me calling.
I mean, if Petullo's a one and done, they might need a coordinator.
I channel my inner Jack Del Rio. I'd be like, hey, we're going to give him a heavy dose of Fred Taylor. I remember being in meetings. He'd be like, hey, we're going to give him a heavy dose of Fred Taylor.
You could be this year's Patricia.
I would run the ball until, like, I would, Saquon would get about 25 carries in the first half. Easy. Easy.
Imagine if Hugh was the coordinator and then you came in here Monday, but you aired all the dirty laundry about the offense.
No, I would take a shot.
He would. He'd be very messy.
Listen, I'll take a shot.
This play and the quarterback screwed it up. That's not on me. That's on him. All right, 215-592-9494. Your phone calls on all this. Is this feeling more like 23 or 24? Where is the season going for the Philadelphia Eagles? The Dodgers dominating the NLCS, does it make you feel better? It doesn't for me. It makes me feel like the Phillies could have beat the team that's going to win the World Series.
Everybody should feel better.
Well, no one does these
days. Top three's off the hook.
They are not.
Off the hook.
That may be for you, not for most people. All right. On the other side as well, the segment you've all been waiting for since the week started, our updated quarterback power rankings, the top 10 in pro football right now. Let's see how many of us drop the act here. 215-592-9494, Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Fall is here, everybody. And you know what that means? That means comfort food and tailgates. Nothing brings heat to your table like Hatfield Recipe Essentials Chorizo. Chorizo is good, everybody. Picture this. Cheesy chorizo dip bubbling on the table or in a pot of your hearty chili on those cold game days. With Hatfield, you're getting flavor you can trust because they put better care into every step for better pork on your plate. Find recipes at simplyhatfield.com. Hatfield, better care, better pork.
Hey, it's Show to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Welcome back, Midday Show, Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. You know what I haven't done today? I haven't checked in on the poll. Are people being honest today or they're lying themselves? We're going to find out. We know Hugh Douglas is trying to be honest with himself, but it's a lot of coping over there. Delusional Douglas, as we call him. Is this Eagles season heading closer to 2023 or 2024? 71%, which one do you think they're voting, Hugh? 71% on?
2024. Oh, jeez.
Come on now. People have eyes. 24. You got that. No, 71% voting 2023. This is more like, all right, 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phone lines, and then we got to get to our updated QB power rankings. Lamar in Philly is up. What's up, Lamar?
What's up, Joe? What's up, you? How you guys making
Lamar,
it?
What's up?
Oh, man, I'm frustrated, man. I'm frustrated simply because, I mean, a couple guys, OG Wade and some other guys, stole my thunder. But the real issue is, Hugh and Joe, they don't have an adult in the room. And that's the real problem. Mm. I call Nick Sirianni a bus rider. He's not the bus driver. He's a bus rider. He can't control AJ. Therefore, there's nothing Hurts can really do. So if you ask the question, where do we see this season going, 2023 or 2024? I say 23 until you trade AJ.
You know, Lamar, I got to say, a month ago, 3 weeks ago, the idea of trading AJ within the season, I would have just said no way. I mean, they're trying to win the Super Bowl. But the longer this goes, Lamar, and the worse it is, I am open to the idea. I really am. I think it is causing a ripple effect that is hurting this football team, Lamar. And he's not helping enough to offset it.
The crazy thing is, Hugh,
yes.
If this man doesn't respect the 60-year-old veteran, Seth Joyner, what you think he think of 28-year-old, 25-year-old Jalen Hurts?
Yeah.
This guy respects nobody.
Yeah.
So if you really was a head coach, you would basically put him in his place. But until they do it, we're in a rough spot.
It feels like it's, unfortunately, Lamar, good phone call. It feels like it is overtaking it's overtaking the emotion of the locker room, the AJ thing. And I feel it has hurt them more than just like this and that on the field. It feels like it's a cloud over the team.
See, when I look at AJ, the bottom line for me when it comes to AJ, AJ wants to win. AJ wants to be a Hall of Famer.
Well, can I just want to cut you off for a second. Mm-hmm. So you could finish. In what order?
AJ wants to win. AJ wants to be a Hall of Famer.
I disagree. I feel like he wants to be a Hall of Famer, and he wants to win.
I feel like, Joe, in everything that has happened, even the rant that I went on a few weeks ago, I hear everything you're saying. But we always talk about when we get new information on this show.
Mm-hmm. New opinions, yeah.
New opinions. AJ, and I've always said this, AJ is an emotional individual. He's very intense in his emotions, right? And a lot of times it's read or interpreted in ways that we don't get because I always talk about vibrating on a different level. He's on his own level when he vibrates and he sees things differently. But I think at the end of the day, he wants to win. It's just he doesn't know how to channel that energy. That's what I want to believe. And I believe that he wants to win and he's frustrated by the way that things are going. I don't have my finger on the pulse in that building. I don't. But I do feel like the way that they've handled him, this is not the same as T.O. It's not. Even though it feels to us on the outside like it is, it's not. Because the way that they handle him. T.O. became a pariah towards the end when he was being a malcontent. It don't feel like that with AJ.
Well, I think the Eagles are smarter about how to handle this stuff now.
That
experience.
That might be the case.
Jeff and Howie were here then.
That might be the case. I feel like they feel like AJ, they're probably on the same page as AJ, but they're not handling it the way that he's handling it.
I think that's been the disconnect the whole time. That a lot of people do agree with him. The pass game needs to be better.
Yes.
I think that's a sentiment we all have had.
Yes.
But how he's going about it is not helping the operation.
It doesn't. But in order to help that, that's where I think that the quarterback has to be the bridge because he's the common denominator. I mean, we talk about it all the time. And this is not me. Listen, folks, because I don't want y'all calling in, you know, running me hot, not hearing what I'm saying.
Mm.
But Jalen has to be the bigger person. And I'm saying it like that because Jalen is the common denominator. Jalen needs to go to AJ and be like, yo, how can we make this better? That's a simple conversation. That's a simple conversation. You can't go in the building and be all stoic and, you know, sit there in press conferences and talk about, hey, everything's cool. We all know everything ain't cool.
No.
We know it's not cool. And I would venture to say it's almost like being in a relationship, right? And one individual has an issue with something that you're doing. Let's use the toilet seat as an example.
Your favorite one.
My favorite one. And you're looking at your significant other, and they're talking about the toilet seat, and you're looking at them with a straight face talking about, I don't understand what you mean. I mean, you know, that's annoying. That is super annoying. And that's what this feels like. Like when you think about it for a minute like this, people. When Jalen Hurts sits at his press conferences, he doesn't say a whole lot, right? He doesn't say a whole lot. But if you ask anybody else on that Eagles football team, they'll say something to the effect, hey, we got to be better. We got to do this. And to be fair to Jalen, there's times at the end of the game he said it has to be better.
Mm.
But when you talk about some of the underlying issues that going on with this football team, it's like he don't know what you're talking about. You can't do that because it's being disingenuous. It's like you're not addressing. You don't have to address it in the media.
Yeah.
But you can, you know, you like people get mad about stuff like that. You have to be a better leader, in my opinion. I think this all comes from his leadership style and his ability to just have a straight face. You know, like I firmly believe if you go in that locker room and say, "Hey, AJ, let's talk. How can we make this better?" I think that goes a long way because that means you acknowledge that there's something wrong and you're trying to fix it. But to sit around in the locker room and not say anything or act like everything is okay, I would love to be at practice and see what their practices are like.
Well, I mean, they don't talk on the sidelines. Do they talk to practice?
That's what I'm saying. I would love to see that because we only have a small sampling size of what we see. And that's on mostly Sundays. And in press conferences where we wait, we shout out to my man Elliot, where he gives us what he can about what he sees. And I think he does a tremendous job of that. Even Elliot feels like there's something going on.
Yep.
The insider you need right now. If Elliot's, listen, Elliot, I need you to go down there and just ask some straightforward questions, man. Like, what the hell going on with y'all, man?
And then at 6 o'clock tonight, he'll tell everyone.
And then you drop that T at 6 o'clock tonight.
Maybe you should go down there.
I don't think I'm allowed in the building. It's been a while.
What?
I don't know.
You are an Eagles Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but I've
you're allowed in the building.
I mean, I'm kind of.
Is this because you misplaced the jacket?
No, I found the jacket.
You found it.
I found it.
Oh, you're official again.
Oh, but you know, I just you know sometimes you know, phone rings. Hey, listen. All I'm gonna say is this: ain't got no strings on me, and so I'm not. You know, I'm not about to be. You know,
doesn't it feel pretty obvious what's AJ and
Jalen? Yeah, it's not good.
Well, of course, like, but every time AJ's asked about his communication with coaches, communication is great. Always got FaceTime with, who's he FaceTime with every Monday? Is it Sirianni or Petullo?
Sirianni.
Petullo's doing an amazing job. Jalen Hurts, no real communication.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
Yeah, we're fine.
Yeah, it's clear.
See, and that's not good.
It's not good.
That's not good. That's
well,
not good.
And since this has gotten louder, the passing game has gotten worse, and they're scoring less points. Again, I don't care if these guys ever speak, if they're putting up 30 points a game.
And that's it. Like, you don't have to be. You don't have to go break bread every weekend.
But this, I think it's affecting the team. Like a month ago, a call to trade A.J. Brown, I think most of us would be like, come on, man. They're trying to win the Super Bowl. This is not for in the season. I don't think, if the next 2 weeks do not go well, I don't think it's crazy that they're going to listen at offers at the trade deadline. 215-592-9494. Yes, our Twitter question, of course, was sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile, the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation. PIDentalCenter.com. We might need a new Twitter question. What do you think of Hugh Douglas's QB list as he unveils it now? Top 10 QBs in pro football. What do you got?
My first one on my list is Daniel Jones.
So this is number one.
He's number one.
Danny Dimes.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Dak Prescott, Jared Goff, Drake May, Baker Mayfield, Pat Mahomes, Matt Stafford, Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, and rounding off the top of the list is Jalen Hurts.
Oh, found a way, Douglas. Got him in the top 10. About? Come on.
Eagles are 4-2, man. After all that diatribe that I went on, Eagles are still 4-2. Still 4-2.
Oh, so we're going with the record?
Well, no, it was partly the record, but the performance. That's why Dak's on the list. It pained me.
Dak's playing well.
Yeah,
exactly. Dak's playing well.
It pained me to put Dak on the list. It really, really did. But Dak balling, man. Dak balling right now.
So you have Jalen Hurts at number 10.
Yeah, he's 10.
I do appreciate the commitment to squeezing Hurts into the top 10, no matter what happens. I mean, it's just, it is a commitment. All right, here is my top 10 list. Right now, as we enter week 7, and then I will finish off and make sure we complete the circle here. All right, so here is what I have. Here I have the former number one retaking the mantle. I'm going back to Patty Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, number one. I think that Chiefs offense is coming alive. I'm glad we caught them when we did, because now they're getting Rashee Rice back. They've had back-to-back games, moving the football really well. Mahomes back to number one. I have Josh Allen, number two. I never thought I would have this guy this high. I have Baker Mayfield as the third best quarterback in pro football right now.
Not the third.
Man, he's playing well. And right now, and I give him extra credit for doing it without the receivers, without the offensive line, mm-hmm. without the running back. He's willing that team to victories. Baker Mayfield, number three. I kept Lamar at number four. I know he's missed the last two games. He's supposed to come back after their bye. He was playing well. And he was obviously the MVP a couple times in the past, and it looked like that kind of starts the season. Lamar at number four.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Herbert, number five. I have Daniel Jones at six. Jared Goff at seven. I put Dak Prescott in at eight. He really is playing well. Now, he's got no defense behind him, and obviously they're right out CeeDee Lamb, but Dak at number eight. Making, I believe, his debut on my list is Sam Darnold.
You got Sam Darnold on your list?
Sam Darnold's playing his butt off. They're moving the football really well in Seattle. They look like a playoff team. And number 10, I believe his debut on my list as well, Hugh. You had him a few weeks ago. Drake Maye's opened my eyes.
Okay, Drake Maye. Yeah,
Drake Maye's. Drake Maye's got himself quite a season he started. So it's Mahomes, it's Allen, it's Baker. Lamar, Herbert, Jones, Goff, Dak, Darnold, Maye. You notice no Jalen Hurts.
You ain't putting him in there.
I can't right now. Let me round it out. Then if I were to continue to go, I would go Stafford 11, Love 12. I'd put Hurts at 13. I think he's about the 13th best quarterback in the league right now. That next group is like Hurts, Stroud, Jaden Daniels, who has not been off to a great start, Rodgers. That's where I'm at. I have Hurts at 13, not in my top 10 this week. Do you appreciate the commitment to getting Hurts in his top 10 from Hugh Douglas?
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous.
What are you talking about?
You put Spencer Rattler in it.
He was. Spencer Rattler quietly. Why y'all playing Spencer Rattler quietly? He'd be all right. Mm-mm. He all right.
He is a little bit better than I thought.
I'm saying,
but
I
he's
have
not
vision.
A top 10
I have
guy.
Vision. I have the third eye.
Mm-hmm.
I have the wherewithal.
You
I
got
see
something.
Things. Yeah.
Hey, it's Jonah Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
Yeah. Where does the guy we're going up against on Sunday rank? Carson Wentz. He better stay at the bottom.
Wentz. That is
I just can I just give you a little heads up? I'm not going to be able to handle a loss to Wentz well. I'm just not going to be able to handle it. Now, today, and we will keep an eye on this and talk about it tomorrow, you know how the starting quarterback usually speaks on Wednesday?
Yeah.
The Vikings are making both McCarthy and Wentz available to the media today, which tells me they're going to take this down to the wire before making a decision.
Yeah, because you got to prepare for both of them.
Yes, and they're both coming off of an injury. Now, Wentz hurt his left shoulder last week. Mm-hmm. When they last played 2 weeks ago, and McCarthy obviously had the ankle, so we'll see. But I can't handle a Wentz loss.
Are we equipped?
No, not equipped.
Just no.
As a station, as a city,
I didn't even need to finish
to lose.
You
to
know
Wentz?
Where I was going
to
here.
Lose to Wentz.
Well, for Wentz to outplay our quarterback,
it's coming. listen, man,
it's coming.
Okay,
I'm sorry for yelling. I can't handle it.
He jumped.
Yeah, you jumped the gun. I was trying to say, if that happens, boy, it's going to be Black Monday around these
Titanic
parts.
Music, the whole thing.
Because if he outplays Jalen, even if he outplays Jalen and we win, it's still going to be Black Monday. It's going to be Tan Monday.
Oh, no, we'll be back to he just wins.
Oh, if Jalen wins
find and a way.
Gets outplayed by Wentz. Yeah. I can't
that's
watch it.
That's where we
it.
Were for the first 4 weeks.
Yeah, well, that's what we do around here.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, he did.
Well, part of Hugh's reasoning for top 10 was he has a winning record. He still has a winning record, 4-2.
Yeah, I mean, I cannot deny that.
Yeah, you can, but it's nothing to do with anything. Mad Mike up on WIP. What's up, Mad Mike?
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
I know. How you doing?
We're getting by. We're getting by.
No, I want chaos. I want Wentz to throw for 450 yards.
Oh, come on.
Five touchdowns. I want Jalen to fumble the ball. And just be like ridiculous, just like normal Jalen. But like can we just talk about can the Seth Joiners of the world stop bending over backwards to protect Jalen Hurts at all costs? Like, geez, oh man, this guy's the most protected, coddled loser ever. He's thrown into the most perfect situation with talent around him at all angles, and he can barely throw the ball for 150 yards. This guy is a fraud. He is the fraudiest of frauds. And this town and the Hoagie Mouths all deserve this loser of a quarterback.
So you are officially rooting for the Vikings and Wentz on Sunday?
Hoagie Mouth.
100%.
I didn't expect any less. I can't wait. And Mike, we appreciate it. Mike's call on Monday might be the one that drives me to just, I'm out. Like,
I told
again,
you so. Yeah, that's
I can't do the Wentz thing. I mean, And we've only done this once, right? Since he left here, they only played against him once, and they destroyed him in 2022 when he was on the
So he's going to be looking for retribution.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know if he's capable of much right now. But the problem is, I mean, Carson is what he is. He's a journeyman at this point. He's got a gifted coach with him, so maybe he can get by for a few weeks. The problem is we have Adoree Jackson and Kelee Ringo, and they've got Justin Jefferson. That's a problem for Sunday as we head towards it. Terrence in Springfield is up on WIP. Hey, Terrence.
Huge old Kyle, what's up, man?
Terrence.
What's going on, man?
Guys, I feel like we are kind of giving the Phillies a little pass. I was telling Kyle, guys, because look, the Dodgers' success right now doesn't make me happy. And I heard Kyle say they had good pitching, we had good pitching. But the same common denominator is they scored more runs than us. We didn't score no runs. We didn't hit. And the thing that made me mad about the
series we actually scored more runs than the Dodgers in the series.
Yeah, we did. That's because the game three lost. Mm-hmm.
But not game by game.
No, not Kyle. Right.
And the thing that makes me mad about the series is we know their potential. We know what they can do when they hit. The year they went to the World Series, they hit all the way until the World Series. So we know they can do this. But it's year after year. So if they run this thing back, Kyle, Joe and Hugh, they run this thing back and they go to it and they don't hit again, but we have good pitching, it's going to still come back to the net. They're not scoring no runs. They're not hitting. The Dodgers, they got men on base. They put pressure on the pitchers. And to me, I know Rob Thompson had a lot to do with this and the bad managing and the tough situations. But the Phillies' big stars have to hit. And I think they got hit from Muncie and guys like that, the Dodgers did. And it wasn't even the big guys that got the hits. All we had to do was get a couple hits, and that series swung a whole different direction.
Well, and if we manage it better, we might be able to steal one of those first four games and get this back to game five. I mean, Topper threw up on himself for the whole series.
That's it. And, guys, as for the Eagles, it's looking more like 2023 to me, man. And the thing with the Eagles is, ego is a hell of a drug, man. Mm. And I think that's what's going on with Hurts, and it's going on with A.J. Brown. And to me, it's getting on my nerves. And, guys, oh, man, this is some powerful stuff. I was thinking about it while you guys were talking. The same common denominator is, I heard you say that earlier, with T.O. I think we would have won a Super Bowl with T.O. if we didn't have that turmoil with T.O., and I feel like that messed up the Eagles being kind of like a dynasty kind of. And I feel like this right here with A.J., is going to kind of mess up the Eagles and their relationship with Jalen Hurts. It's going to mess up these guys being great and being what they can be, you know, what they can be in the league right now. Because they should be dominating right now. If when they call a spade, they should be dominating the league right now. And the thing about Nick Sirianni right now, he has to stop being too nice to your player. I heard him say, you got to celebrate the win. He sound like Doc Rivers, bro. You sound like Doc Rivers. You can't celebrate a win if it don't look good. If the win don't look good, you cannot celebrate it. You got to teach the guys the right way, man. And to me, that's the problem with Sirianni, man. I feel like he's not being he's kind of scared of AJ to discipline him and tell him what he got to do, not bring this bad mojo to the team. But I feel like they got to get together, man, because the Eagles right now, that's what separates them from being like the Chiefs and the Patriots. As this turmoil, as the Eagles, and that's the problem with the Philadelphia Eagles right now.
Well, Terrence, it's a great point, especially if this thing is more like 23. It really, you know, Hugh, before the season, we thought, or there was a thought, like they are the next Chiefs, right? They could be the next dynasty. They mm-hmm. can win, you know, multiple titles in a row or three out of four, whatever. This ego stuff, this infighting, that's hard to rectify that, right? Like, it's one, the Patriots, Belichick, if you weren't on board, he got you out of the building, right?
Yeah.
Like, they moved players in and out, aside from Brady, the whole time. And the Chiefs really haven't had much of that, right? Like, I guess the Tyreek thing, but he really just wanted money, and they got him out of the building.
Mm-hmm.
Those teams, they sustained greatness, not just because their quarterbacks were great and their coaches were great, but they didn't have any nonsense.
Yeah.
They moved the nonsense out.
Yeah, and it feels like, to Terrence's point, that they're allowing the inmates to run the asylum a little bit. You can't have that. Especially when you talk about, but you know, you got guys making a ton of bread. It's kind of hard to tell them what to do. But
doesn't every great team have guys making a lot of money?
Yeah,
I mean,
but they
handful.
Also have coaches in position. You know, like, you know, you got what's his name out there punching folks. You know, getting fined for it. But they have they know how to control the environment, if you will. Not saying that necessarily you got to put hands on folks to control the environment, but you get what I'm going.
You do say that sometimes.
Sometimes you do.
I do, and I'm trying to move on. I'm trying to be professional.
Are you trying to,
trying to grow up? At
trying,
age 53,
man. I guess. Yeah, 54.
Trying. Are you closer to being a grown-up or a professional?
I've never seen him more stuff.
I got you with that one.
I mean, both of them are a struggle at this point.
I actually think you're closer to being a professional.
I agree.
No. Because, like I said, I got
grown ups real life stuff.
Well, you know, I got a phone call this morning about being being a grown up.
That is true.
I did get a phone call.
We are now at the 0 days since Hugh's last nods.
Well, Hugh also told me a story off air about being a grown up.
Oh, man.
Like, it wasn't anything bad. It just was like, you know, you're struggling to be a grown up.
Yeah, I'm struggling to be a grown up. Oh, you're talking about the toys. I'm buying toys. Yeah, I'm buying toys.
Hugh's running out of space in his place because he's buying too many toys.
Let me tell you what I did, man. Like, in any father that has a little, well, children altogether, like any, like, you know, you try to get them to like what you like, right? So I grew up with Transformers, right? So I'm trying to get Harper into, like, hey, man, you know, watching cartoons up. He's looking at me like, yo, dog, what is this mess? So I bought these Transformer toys that you put together, right? Like these figurines.
Oh, dude, you're having a midlife crisis.
Yeah, and so we put them all together, right? It's like 30 little Transformers, right?
30.
And Harper said, I just like this one. He only picked one. And I'm like, well, damn.
So now you have 29 Transformers?
I got 29 Transformers. And then I just got some more. Because I'm hey, if anybody ever comes to my house, they're going to see a bunch of little Transformers all over the place. They're going to be like, what the hell is wrong with this
and
grown
we
ass?
We have man? Ourselves midlife crisis yep. Douglas over here. Driving an Uber, buying Transformers.
Transformer toys. They're really nice figurines,
I'm sure they are.
I believe you. We didn't doubt that.
Sorry, back to reality.
Yeah.
Do we have to?
I did. Yeah. Okay. Unfortunately, we do have an hour left, but that's the nonsense hour of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just feel like it's become—I don't want to use the word lazy, but it is sort of the convenient, easy, lazy take to say, "Well, same old Phillies bats went cold again in the postseason."
You're going back to this?
Yeah, I really feel this way. I just
it
do.
Isn't the same,
it's
but
not
it doesn't
the same.
Make me feel better.
No, like, that's fine.
I agree. There's going out like chumps. There's going out soft. There's going out to a great team, and that's all different. But the series was still there to be won.
Sure, I'm not going to get myself all worked up trying to change how other people feel about it. They can feel how they want to feel. I'm just telling you why I feel this way, and I think the people who just chalk this up to another series where the bats didn't show up are wrong. Mm. I think they're wrong.
Mm.
So, but you see why people add one and one and get two.
I absolutely
one and two
do,
and get three.
But I think they're wrong.
Well, but it's
and you know it kind of live
do.
Your truth.
No.
We fought him earlier. We can't let him live his truth. Now you can't tap out.
No, I'm just saying it sounds crazy.
I won,
but let him live his truth. It's ridiculous.
I don't think it's crazy. I honestly don't.
It's very crazy.
I think the biggest issues in the series: Marsh hitting in the five hole. Bryson stopped bunting. Orion Kirkering making a bad throw. So, an ill-advised throw to home plate. Trey Turner's bad throw to home plate.
Oh, you know what? We've kind of forgot about that one.
Trey Turner sucks
in the playoffs. I'm tired of it.
It was all of the little mistakes.
I know.
As opposed to what, like,
I just
think it's convenient to say, well, the bats didn't hit again. Like,
no,
did,
I mean,
did they? If you look
it's
at the numbers,
convenient because that's
they
what
didn't.
Happened.
Well, sure. Did the bats hit?
No,
they didn't.
Now, if the bats hit, it could have made up for the little things.
Sure.
And they didn't.
Right.
But they had both.
But the Dodgers didn't hit either.
I know. But they managed
it better.
They made
fewer mistakes.
They made it happen,
yes.
though.
That's my point. That's what the series came down to.
That dog does not hunt, though, Kyle, because you're a professional.
I'm not a professional.
That's what happens when Harper's out there playing with his friends and they make mistakes. That's expected. But when we got that professional.
Which Harper?
No, well, look, my son Harper. Yeah, they're professional.
I'm not saying it's acceptable that they made all the mistakes.
Like,
no. I don't know where you get that idea that I'm saying it's okay that they made fewer mistakes.
Yeah,
I'm letting
you're coping.
I'm letting the top three of the order, the stars, the guys who are making the money.
I'm letting them off the hook. $300 million
off the hook for the shortstop that can't throw home accurately and
has a 680 OPS. No, he's not off the hook for that.
Okay, 215.
Off the hook for how they
592-9494. Well, keep taking your calls on all of this. Do you feel better about the Phillies because the Dodgers are playing well in the NLCS? No, I don't. Also, want to get something interesting from PFT Live on why this Eagles offense won't change. You're not going to want to miss this. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Hey, it's Jonah Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.